Greetings, it's Mal. Call your banners because it's time to head back to Westeros for House of the Dragon Season 2. The Ringer's Dragon Riders will soar alongside you each week with a Harrenhal-sized slate of conversations. The dragon has three heads, and on Sunday nights immediately after Hot D concludes, Chris Ryan, Joanna Robinson, and I will be with you for Talk the Thrones. Then on Mondays, two more shows await. Dan Lath and Charles Holmes, Steve Allman and Jomia Denneron, a.k.a. the Midnight Boys, pew pew, will head to the tourney grounds to share their reactions. And of course, Chris Ryan and Andy Greenwald will sip the Arbor's finest vintage on the watch. Then on Tuesdays, Joanna and I will head to the bowels of the Pleasure Den for our House of Ar deep dives. Then on Thursdays, Joe, Neil Miller, and Dave Gonzalez will gather the Ravens for trial by content. In this season, full episodes of Talk the Thrones, House of Ar, and The Midnight Boys will also be available on video on Spotify and the new Ringerverse YouTube channel. Podcast episodes available on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by the all-new Toyota Camry. And let me tell you, this car is a vibe. It's powerful, agile, and stylish. The racing-inspired exterior is sleek and bold, available with a two-tone midnight black metallic roof and rear spoiler. And inside, the design is modern and intuitive, with available leather-trimmed seats and a panoramic glass roof. Whatever your vibe, it's a Camry vibe. Learn more at toyota.com/Camry.
There's no better feeling than a personal win, and the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Welcome to We're Obsessed, a podcast here on the Ringer Dish feed where we are talking about all of the pop culture that's been taking over your screens and feeds and for you pages. I'm Jody Walker, joined by my co-host Chelsea Stark Jones. And this week, we're talking about a lot of major life milestones. Gypsy Rhode Blanchard's pregnancy, Olivia Culpo's wedding.
Yes,
weddings. Lots of pregnancies, weddings. And that all-important moment when you look into your lover's eyes and he turns into a horse. Yes, I am talking about My Lady Jane. That is a surprise to Chelsea, and I can't wait to tell her about it. Let's get into it. Chelsea, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Jody. You know, this has been a pretty fun pop culture week. I've come up for air a couple of times in my Love Island fog, but for the most part, that's honestly consumed my life. And I hate to make it my entire personality, but here I am making it my entire personality.
Well, I mean, that's what I just don't know what to do. I don't know how many people can keep telling me to watch it. I want to watch it. I simply don't have the executive function to watch it.
It's a lot.
I can't do it. I can't. Tune in to Bachelor Party this yes. week to hear Juliet and I talk about Below Deck on a sort of going out of left field on Bachelor Party. But towards the end, she asked me, told me, really, it's always more of a demand when someone tells you to watch Love Island USA this season. And I just don't know how. I think I exposed myself pretty thoroughly last week in like just not being able to operate that well as a human when I came onto the podcast absolutely screaming, having just exploded a Coke Zero all over my desk. And I would like to give an update live on air right now because I was truly touched, Chelsea. I was truly touched by the amount of people that reached out to me to try and help me be better at my own life by giving me alternatives to putting the Coke Zero in the freezer.
Oh, wow.
And no one was like, you know, Jody, I know they're thinking it. And I know you said it to me last week. Jody, why won't you just put the Coke Zeros in the refrigerator? And
yeah.
Like, if I had an answer to that question, I'd do it. I just forget. And then I put them in the freezer and then I ruin my own life 2 to 3 times a week. So the number one tip that was sent to me: to quick freeze or not freeze, to quick cool a Coke Zero or a Coke or a can of anything. Several people sent me a reel from a content creator called The Space Gal. She's an MIT engineer And
just getting scientific.
Yeah, it's science. Well, it's science. It is. And I did use the last of my household salt in order to do this.
Oh my
God. The main tip, and this was also, I guess, on Mythbusters a while back, because someone else tweeted me that they saw it on Mythbusters. But the space gal has also been conducting experiments to solve this problem, to see the quickest way to chill a drink in 10 minutes. And her ultimate scientific find, again, MIT graduate, what is to put a can of Coke in ice and salt and water. She says water is optional and it will chill it in 10 minutes. So, Chelsea, I have put this can of Coke Zero in ice and salt for 10 minutes. It's now been sitting here on this desk as we've chatted for 5 minutes, and I'm going to open it and see if it's cold.
Okay.
Confirmed it has not exploded, and I am still a happy person. It's pretty cold.
Okay, like, I'm sorry. So is there measurements to this? Like, how much salt did you use?
I used as much salt as I had, as much loose salt as I had. I didn't want to put our, like, Malden's flaky salt in there.
Yeah.
It is cold. It's cold.
Okay, and then... Does this not feel like more than just putting it in the refrigerator at the beginning of the week?
Chelsea, what don't you understand? I can't put the Cokes in the refrigerator. When I remove one, I don't replace it because I'm not good at
stuff. But why can't you put all of them in there?
Well, I mean, I got to put other stuff in there, you know. I'm not putting 12 Cokes in a refrigerator. Chelsea? I need you to be as supportive as our listeners.
Sorry.
You told me to put a bunch of salt in a bucket with ice. And I am now realizing that the Coke Zero does taste pretty salty. So I would recommend giving the top of the can a nice little wipe before you go in. it's just a little salt coming off the top.
Okay.
But it worked. It worked.
Okay. Yeah. Well, love that for you. I will get on board on your journey of quickening your methods of cooling your cans. So
thank you. Yeah, you have to work around me. I can't work around reality. You have to work around me. And me is using science to quick chill my drinks now. So thank you so much. This is possibly a new obsession and I'm going to need to get some more salt. That's for sure. I need more room in my refrigerator and I need more salt. The other thing that we have to quickly check back in on as a little update from last week's episode is that last week we found out that Gladiator 2 and Wicked Part 1 were going to be coming out on the same day, presenting us with a new Barbenheimer opportunity. And at that time, we just had pictures of Gladiator 2 and everyone was like losing their mind with horniness as it was. We now have a moving motion picture trailer, 2.5 full minutes of Gladiator 2. And I want to tell you, if you would like to just, in my opinion, absolutely feel on fire for 2.5 minutes, watch the Gladiator 2 trailer. It is really good. Have you seen it, Chelsea?
Yeah. And my initial thought was, this is better than the fan trailer that I watched last week. So,
yeah. Well, that's shocking. I wonder if that fan trailer had the rights to No Church in the Wild by Jay-Z and Kanye West, because that is what sets this trailer on fire. It's just like, I wonder at which point Ridley Scott or whoever edited this trailer together thought of the words, tears on the mausoleum floor, bloodstains on the Colosseum door. And we're like, this is 12 years in the making to put this song in the Gladiator 2 trailer. And it hits so hard.
Yeah, I was really happy with that 2011 callback. That was peak Kanye. It's a really good trailer. I'm sure you're not going to be surprised. Have not seen Oppenheimer, but I do think I will go see Wicked and Gladiator 2. So this will win in the Barbenheimer. What are we calling this weekend? The Wicked Gladiator Wickiator?
I feel like Wickiator is like
Gladded?
The easiest go-to. I don't know if it has as much of a ring to it. We've got a few months to get there. I just want to shout out in the Gladiator 2 trailer that at one point there's a rhinoceros.
Oh, yeah.
At one point, they fill up the Colosseum with water, which is like a real thing in history that happened. No, I don't know if the sharks that we saw in the trailer are historical canon, but that got me real hyped. And then the star of the Gladiator 2 trailer, other than like, I mean, Paul Mescal is a star, and so is Pedro Pascal, and like they come off great. And also the two like giggly little Roman emperors everyone comes off great, but no one comes off better than Denzel Washington just being like, I'm not doing an accent and I don't need to because I'm Denzel Washington.
I wouldn't expect anything less from my guy Denzel. Denny Zelly. That like
some of those classic nicknames. He's so like, he just has such a presence, and his voice is kind of like, it's kind of like the opposite of Samuel L. Jackson, who has, or like Morgan Freeman, who I feel like have often, you know, been employed in narration and have kind of like a soothing voice or a cool voice. Denzel's natural voice, or whatever he's doing in this trailer, which is like kind of a heightened version of his natural voice, just gets me so hyped. It's like he's being so sly, like he's up to something.
I thought you were gonna say just gets me so hot, and I was like, yeah, me too.
Well, yeah. I mean, Denzel Washington has been certified hot for 4 decades on our screens, like, just yes, and he is hot in this trailer. Everybody is. It's gonna be good.
It's gonna be a great gladdy icked wicked weekend.
Well, as always, we're wonderful at naming things and putting words together. So those are our updates for the week. Now, as we get online, I'm really happy to throw over to Chelsea, because something's happening in your neck of the woods and I need help understanding it.
Yeah, you know, so we've had 4 pregnancy announcements this week and the week is not over. So there could be another. Hopefully not, because we won't be able to talk about it until next week. But we have Lindsay Hubbard of Summer House fame. She is 3 months pregnant, and we will talk all about that on Morally Corrupt. So don't worry, hop over to Ringer Reality to catch that tea. And then Margot Robbie, she's preggers. She hasn't like officially announced it, but she looked absolutely stunning with a cute little white crop top thing and trousers, about to get on a little boat ride with her hubby with her little baby bump out. And she just looks so beautiful and so chic and whatnot. And then also Alexandra Daddario is pregnant. I know her because of White Lotus, but I know she's in like a lot of other things too. But she's just White Lotus girl.
She's in a lot of things, just showing off those big old eyes. She just has these huge blue eyes. But I was quite struck by her pregnancy announcement, because she is sitting just bare butt on her kitchen counter. I mean, she's wearing underwear, but like there's cheek on the counter, and that's
what Clorox is for.
That's one way to
for.
Announce it, you know?
That's what Clorox is for. But the one
doesn't
that
have
gets
to
me
be for that.
The most excited, and maybe I was the most surprised by it, is my girl, Gypsy Rose Blanchard, is pregnant with her current boyfriend, ex-boyfriend from prison. His name is Kent
Berger.
He
is her ex-fiance.
Were they engaged?
They were.
Oh, she was engaged twice. Gosh, Gypsy really knows how to pull men. I mean, God bless the girl. But yes,
I think about this all the time. Like, the amount of life milestones that people are able to achieve in the time that I've achieved none. And to be clear, they're not milestones I'm trying to achieve.
It's not a competition.
But like, I think I mentioned this a while back when we were talking about the TikTok cult documentary. Like, a lot of times I'll watch these cult documentaries and I'll watch how they're doing afterwards. And they're doing so well. Like, they seem, I'm like, how are
well
they doing that
to life
financially well? They seem a lot richer than me. And like, they were in a cult for 20 years. So I'm just always kind of, and then like Gypsy Rose Blanchard, engaged twice, married once, pregnant once.
Divorced once.
In prison. While in prison.
Yes. Yes. So you guys, Gypsy announced on YouTube and with some pregnancy photos with her now boyfriend, Ken, that she is expecting. She is due in January. So she's 11 weeks pregnant. And yeah, if you haven't been following along, don't worry, I have. So Ken and Gypsy met via prison. He wrote her in prison and they dated for a while in prison. And I remember in the I'm pretty sure it was a Lifetime doc or reality thing, whatever that she is doing. But Ken, they wrote something up, like People Magazine wrote something up about her and her new prison bae, Ken, back in the day. And it freaked him out. Like this was something of him like being online and people like interested in him. And according to him, that's what made him break up and end the relationship. Gypsy was heartbroken. She really, really loved this guy. They had family photos in the prison communal center, all of the things. And so then she meets via prison pen paling, Ryan, who is the guy that we got to know on her reality show and that we've seen her with doing press when she got released, who she said, the D is fire, like you're just mad. So this is Ryan. Ryan and her got married while she was in prison. And if you remember in the docuseries or reality, whatever, her family was not supportive of, not necessarily not supportive, but just like wanting Gypsy, like you can marry him, but why don't you just like come out of prison first? Like you don't know what life is going to be like. Let's adjust to life outside of the prison cells. And she's like, absolutely not. I want to do this for me. Mistake number one. So her getting out of prison, Ken gets in touch with Gypsy's stepmom and wants to rekindle things. This gets Ryan a little frustrated because like Ryan's like, don't come to my girl. Don't approach my girl. We're married. He's a little bit insecure. Obviously, Gypsy reconnects with Ken with Ken and files for divorce with Ryan. And shortly after, she says the pregnancy was not planned, but, you know, Gyps got it on and a baby's coming. So I am happy for her, but I'm scared for her at the same time. I think she has like a good like family system with her dad and stepmom in place. But, you know, she says this is her second chance at life. She has an opportunity to be the mom that she never had to this child. So I'm hoping like she's saying all the right things, but I mean, we still have things from Gypsy where it's just like, you could tell this girl was stunted in her adolescence and then also had so much life taken away from her when she says, my man wouldn't touch you with a 10-foot pole. Like we know she still has more growing to do. So it's just crazy to think that she's about to be a mother.
She continues to prove everyone wrong. Like you can't really make any guesses. So there's only so much you could be right and wrong about. But I was just shocked when I saw this, mostly because that was not a man I had seen her with before. I had seen her with a different man. And I was thinking about how you said like her family didn't want her to marry Ryan before she came out of prison. Cause like, why do that? She did it anyways, cause she wanted to. And then she's just kind of like, well, yeah, I married him. Now I'll divorce him and marry someone else. Like that is an option that is open to me. I will give Gypsy Rose this. She thinks outside the box. She sees the options that are open to her that other people just aren't thinking about. And like, I absolutely am tuning back. I'm figuring out how to watch Lifetime, seemingly an impossible task. And I'm tuning back in to the second half of this docuseries because we both watched the first half and it went on hiatus and now it's back. And like what's airing right now in the second half is her marriage with Ryan, who, as I recall, they broke up in kind of like late March. So that's like probably about what we're watching on the docuseries. And she cited food hoarding and like uncontrollable snoring as reasons that she couldn't stay with him. And then apparently broke up with him, immediately got together with, it's so impossible to say who Ken is to her because he's her ex-fiance and her current boyfriend.
Like, this is what makes Gypsy so fascinating. Like, uncontrollable snoring, food hoarding, your ex-fiance, current boyfriend, baby daddy. Like, she is just an uncontrollable figure. I love her so much. And yeah, I was very surprised. I gasped when I saw the news. Dustin was like, "What is it?" I was like, "You wouldn't understand." And immediately picked up my phone. And you had said,
"You wouldn't understand. You couldn't understand. I don't understand." No. Yeah. Okay, Chelsea, let me ask you this. So did she say the iconic series of lines and trending TikTok audio?
Oh, honey, I am so not threatened by you.
My man wouldn't touch you with a 10-foot pole. As the remix goes.
My man wouldn't touch you with a 10-foot pole.
And last time I checked, you don't have a man. So looks like you're the one
who's panini pressed.
Did she say that about Ken?
Ken. It's about Ken, yes. Yes.
And at that time, she was cut out of that because I have an instinct to protect Gypsy, but that I don't know why I'm doing that, is that in the middle of that, she said, you're just mad because I have a Chad, which is like extreme dog whistle language in regards to what Gypsy is consuming on her For You page. And, you know, like, that's why she's so fascinating, because then, like, the empathy kicks in. Like, she missed out on her childhood. Like, that was stolen away from her. And she does these things where she's fitting in kind of all of this, like, adolescent language.
Yeah.
Although Panini Pressed that's actually firing on all cylinders.
I, like, honestly, Gypsy's teaching me new things. Panini Pressed, never heard of it until it came out of Gypsy Rose's mouth. Like, wow. Yeah, I am Panini Pressed, Gypsy. I am.
And she does, she rides hard for her men, for her many, many men. She comes out defending even before people were panini pressed about Ken, who, by the way, she did deny being with. Like, absolutely, when she was seen with him, they were, like, denying any romantic involvement, directly denied being pregnant, and then... It's a tight timeline as well.
It is a tight timeline. I will also say, she started off her YouTube video announcing her pregnancy by saying, "I know you guys have been hearing a lot of rumors." And I was like, actually, I haven't. I have not heard rumors that you are pregnant. Had you heard rumors that Gypsy was pregnant?
No, but Gypsy Rose exists in, like, such a... she's her own vertical on the Daily Mail. You know what I mean? Like, she's her own niche topic, but it's really popular. So, like, if you tune out, like, if you just step out, you're not hearing rumors, you don't know what's going on. If you step right back in, and you know who's, like, on the tippy top of the Gypsy Rose Blanchard beat is Kim Kardashian. Like, that's who's... We are keeping up with the Kardashians, and Kim Kardashian is keeping up with Gypsy Rose Blanchard. Like, she is watching the show, she's tuned into the drama, and she's meeting Gypsy Rose.
Did you watch?
I don't know if Gypsy Rose... Did she come on the Kardashians?
She went on the Kardashians. I was thinking about watching just that clip, but I haven't put the Kardashians on all season. And I was like, even my love for Gypsy isn't going to get me to turn on Hulu and flick on the Kardashians.
I thought you kept up with the Kardashians, Chelsea.
You know what?
Not this season.
Not this season. And they did lose me because... I don't even like to say what I was excited about, because I really do not like the Kardashians. I hate them similarly to the way in which I hate Taylor Swift. But just like when they moved from E! To the Kardashians, they made it seem as if this was going to be a quicker turnaround reality show, that they were going to, like, shoot their life, and then almost immediately it was going to be on Hulu. And so I was like, okay, that's interesting, because I felt like within the Keeping Up world on E!, it was their... real life happened, and then 6-7 months later, it was on TV, and, like, so much from that point had already happened. And they're doing that again with this Hulu series, to where I've just, like, lost interest. And also, they're not very... I mean, I think the Kardashians are very much in their flop era, and there's just nothing really fascinating about them going on, even though they are trying a lot to stay relevant. I don't find them to be that interesting anymore.
I'll tell you what, every time I see a tweet or a TikTok or an Instagram that's like Khloe Kardashian's, who I like, but like Khloe Kardashian's pantry is goals, it makes me want to scream. I mean, I can't even put a Coke Zero in the refrigerator. Like, can you imagine what I would do if I were tasked with like returning the, you know, crystal hot sauce to the right Lazy Susan that has all the Louisiana style hot sauces? I mean, her pantry has hallways in it. Like,
I mean, so that
makes me feel insane.
Of dreams to me. This is how you and I are different. Like, I would love Khloe Kardashian's pantry. And
Chelsea, you want to walk down a corridor to get to your corn pop snacks? Like, you want to walk down a corridor?
Yes, I do.
To retrieve your salt to quick chill your Coke Zero?
I want a pantry in Calabasas along
you
with...
You too. Yeah. You want, like, you don't even want a house. You just, like, you want a pantry,
pantry
in Calabasas
is good enough.
To go to.
I could put a bed in there. As long as there's
I could
plumbing,
have a clear
I'm
refrigerator
good.
Where I can see my bowl of lemons that I'm yes. never going to use.
That's what I would, I would not be mad at that. So, but I might flip on the Kardashians just to see what Gypsy has to say. But if anyone's kind enough to just throw that clip on Twitter, I'd be happy with that too.
I'm sure that it exists out there. Listen, we're hating on the Kardashians a little bit. We're also about to take a swift left into a haters corner with something that the internet's been a little obsessed with that I am very nervous about. So I just want to quickly cleanse the palate with something that is trending so hard on TikTok right now that I am absolutely obsessed with. And it's very simple. It's just when a bunch of girlies get together and they sing about their outfits in a little rhythm, and it goes something like this. Boots and a slick back bun. Boots and a slick back bun. And you can do it with anything. Summer's in a little blue purse. Summer's in a little blue purse. And it's like, it's usually about what you're wearing. So it's maybe like, you know, a trio or a quad of people. Everyone sings it together. The first one, I think the first one in existence on TikTok was only from like June 29th. And it's some British gals singing Boots in a Slick Back Bun. And then it's just continued to progress. I first saw it with this woman and two gay friends who are visiting London before a wedding. And they're doing, it's clearly just like also, it's taken over their minds. Like, first they're doing it with outfits. Then they're on the train and being like, cute hat in a fantasy novel, cute hat in a fantasy novel. And you can, it's the only rhythm that I can think in anymore. Amy Poehler and her, you know, comedy powerhouse
Amy
Paul- crew. Just
Rashida
did.
Jones. That was the first one I saw. And I thought they made it up.
Oh, no. And
yeah,
I mean, like,
I
when
like,
I saw
cute.
It. It is cute. I mean, it's so cute. I know. I thought that the crew doing it on the London trip had made it up. And I don't even know. It's like, it's unclear where it came from. And it also has a real tenor of like a camp game, like a thing you'd do at summer camp. You know, it's very like Little yeah. Sally Walker. Did you ever play that in school?
Oh, of course. Jody, of course. can you describe your outfit in this sing-songy TikTok trend?
Yeah, I'd be like, green shirt and a microphone. Green shirt and a microphone.
Okay.
Can you do yours?
I'm Nike set and pink slippers. Nike set and pink slippers. That's me today.
It's just really bolstering. And it's like, it's so childlike and silly, but it's also like, girls just know how to have fun, you know? Like,
yeah, it is really cute. I have been enjoying.
It's very girlhood summer of 2023, but yeah. It's still girlhood summer, whatever that ever meant.
Now that we've cleansed the palate, let's get real nasty with it into our haters corner, which I am not. I'm like a 5 on the haterade of this subject. I'm leaning on indifference. I am happy with the sequel, but I can't
well,
see it
we've
going.
Not, you know, in the short tenure of this podcast, we've talked about a lot of movie sequels.
Yes, we have.
That we've been excited about.
Yes, yes. And, you know, I think the idea of you has made me very excited to see more Anne Hathaway. Did you post that other trailer, or did I see this online, a trailer of her and Emily Blunt in a movie that's coming out? Is it Emily Blunt?
Well, no, that's the movie that we're talking about right now.
Oh, Emily Blunt.
No, you're thinking of Jessica Chastain.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, more Anne Hathaway. And this news to me was more Anne Hathaway of, I can't wait to see her. I love Andy from Devil Wears Prada. I love the outfits from Devil Wears Prada. I feel like this was, when this movie came out, I wanted to move to New York and work in fashion. So like this movie was everything to me and like inspired me and like all of the things. So I don't know, just like, you know, high school Chelsea is thrilled that she'll get more Andy. But yes, I think the concept is weird and you could go ahead and elaborate on that, which is, I think, the root of the hateration.
Listen, you know, it's hard for me to be a hater. It's not exactly in my nature. But when I received the news that Devil Wears Prada was officially announcing a sequel, I feel like it's always going around that like maybe Devil Wears Prada is going to be a sequel. And it's always the cast members like denying it and like expressing hesitation. Anne Hathaway and Emily Blunt have like both expressed their reservations in the past, specifically because of the like major shift in the publishing industry since 2006, when this adaptation of the very successful novel Devil Wears Prada came out. Like it's just a different world. When I saw the news that it was official and that the all of the lead cast, Anne Hathaway, Emily Blunt, Stanley Tucci, and most especially Meryl Streep are all signing back on, I can't explain it. A chill went down my spine. The first one is so perfect. And unlike, you know, some of the other ones that we've talked about, like Practical Magic, I don't think that this one lends itself as much to a sequel as many of its stars have noted. And really, the chill came from the breaking news, which Puck News broke this story with a tweet. And then, you know, it went on your Pop Craves and your Cinema Poos and your whatchamacallits, and then went very viral. But the Puck News announcement says, a Devil Wears Prada sequel is in the works with Meryl Streep set to return as Miranda Priestly, now facing the dystopian post-aughts reality of the magazine business. And I am open to that I am projecting. We are in the media industry. I got my start as an Entertainment Weekly print intern, but like having to think about Miranda Priestly played by Meryl Streep. I mean, the thing that like makes that role so iconic is that it's so hard. It goes and it goes and it goes. And then at the very end of the movie, you get this kind of like glimpse of vulnerability that then is ultimately sort of rejected by the great humanity of the character of Andy. To like have to face a fully vulnerable Miranda Priestly, who's just like making it through, you know, the blogging era, the pivoting to video era, like watching her have to know about TikTok. It's like this trend where people keep saying like, imagine this person having to use a QR code menu at a restaurant. Like the Miranda Priestly of my mind should never have to use a QR code menu at a restaurant. And that's the reality. And I think it's like, it's making me face a mirror and a reality that is difficult and that I am scared of.
See, this is where I'm assuming, I don't know if the Puck News had it that the script is done, but I'm assuming the only way that we have Meryl Streep, Anne Hathaway, Emily Blunt, Stanley Tucci all returning is that they are like fully on board with the story and or script, which gives me hope that it's not gonna be horrible.
It's a great point, Chelsea. These are people who are smarter and more talented than me and who make a lot of good decisions.
Yeah. Like I haven't seen a lot of them in anything.
Hathaway's done some bad things, but like, and everybody has, but I mean like Meryl Streep and Emily Blunt, I mean, they kind of like, they keep a pretty like masterful grip over their IMDb pages.
Yeah.
I feel. So I agree. I know that's true. I'm a little bit scared. I'm a little bit nervous. And I want the plot to be different, I think. Like, what if it was Mamma Mia instead? Like, what if it was just Meryl Streep and Mamma Mia again, but Anne Hathaway and Emily Blunt are also there? Now, doesn't that sound like a good time?
That's a hard left. I'm excited for the fashion. I'm excited to see, like, the fairy tale image of New York, like how I always envisioned it. And I guess it is like that when I go and visit. I never have the high fashion New York moment that I wish I had growing up whenever I visit New York. So yeah, I'm excited for this.
Well,
I respect your hateration. I do. And I actually like seeing this hateration on you, because hating, as we've done this podcast, does kind of come naturally to me. So the fact that you are the lead hater in this, like, actually takes some pressure off me. It's kind of nice. Yeah. It's not going to last, because in a few minutes,
I'm not very powerful. I like can't even lead the force. I'm like, yeah, I'll be there in theaters in a costume, probably. I'm rooting for everyone involved. And you have convinced me, though. Like, yeah, these people know what they're doing. It's probably going to be great. There is something about that it's not yet at 20 years. Like, it does also feel a little soon to me to be doing a sequel.
Well, maybe it'll come out in 2026. Who knows?
That's true.
But I'll be seated. I will go to the theater for that. They better not do streaming release. I will go to the theater for Devil Wears Prada.
If they did streaming release, I would throw myself into the fucking street. I mean, that's the thing, Chelsea. That's the thing. Is like, we already have Miranda Priestly facing like the dystopian state of print media and having to learn what TikTok is. If they stream this movie, we might as well just all go into the long good night. Like,
Jody,
it's all
riot,
it's
in
all
the
over.
Streets of Asheville.
I'll just fall apart. And in the streets of Asheville, no one will know what I'm doing. Like, they're protesting over something worthy, and I am protesting over the Devil Wears Prada sequel. And they're like, oh, we were actually doing climate control. So, like, we were actually doing climate stuff. So if you could just
take your gray bob wig off
and stop quoting word for word the Cerulean Blue monologue from Devil Wears Prada. How are they? The iconic. I have a lot of fears. I love the original so much. I'm like, they're gonna try to do the Cerulean Blue monologue all over again, and it's perfect.
Oh, okay. I see. You think this has nothing to do with you.
But they're not going to try to do that. They're smarter
faith.
Than that.
I think they they're are smarter than that. I have faith. I look forward to seeing it. Now we're going to switch over to something that I am going to hate on. And I'm going to try not to be super negative about it. But now it's finally time.
You're ready to talk about it, Chelsea.
I am ready.
You're finally ready to talk about it.
Fine.
I'll talk about it.
Myself.
I'm ready to talk about it.
You brought it up with me last week. Yeah. I didn't know what was going on, and the story has progressed.
Yes.
Please tell me about it.
I'm glad we waited. I'm glad we sat on it and said, you know what, it's not worth discussing, because all I have to say is negative stuff. And now I still have negative stuff to say.
Well, the thing is though, that this week it was like you saw the hating that was to come in the future. That so ravened right into the future of this story. And now people are on your side.
Yes. So guys, Olivia Culpo and her now husband, Christian McCaffrey, who is a running back for the San Francisco 49ers. He's probably the best running back in the NFL. Great contract, lots of money. They've been dating since, I think, like 2018 or 2019. So when he was a Carolina Panther, they've been together. I never watched the Culpo sisters, but I do follow Olivia Culpo. Like, I think she's a gorgeous, gorgeous girl. She was Miss Universe. And I like her style. I am, you know, a big football fan. The 49ers have the best dressed wives in the NFL. If you guys recall our girl, Kristen Juszczyk, She was the one, she's like, does all the different designs and stuff like that. She designed that really cool jacket that like went like super insane, for Taylor Swift. So those wives always look fabulous. So I like, I've always loved Olivia Coble's game day looks. I follow her. She's interesting on TikTok, whatever. So I was excited for her wedding. And how I was going to phrase this last week was I was a little bit disappointed in the wedding rollout. I was very much expecting a Sophia Richie type rollout for Sophia Coppola's wedding, because they have a lot of similarities. So Sophia Richie wore Chanel for her wedding throughout the wedding week and whatnot. Olivia Coppola did Dolce & Gabbana. She did a Vogue interview and whatnot. So, and she did a lot of TikToks leading up to like wedding prep, welcome party, all this stuff. So I was expecting like a lot more grandiose to it. And it just kind of fell flat to me. Not to say that it wasn't a beautiful wedding. It looked gorgeous. It looked gorgeous. The flowers, it was in Rhode Island. Again, not a wedding I could have. It was beautiful.
The hydrangeas, the Rhode Island hydrangeas. I mean, talk about like making it my whole personality. If I had access to those kinds of hydrangeas, it's all I would be talking about, posting on social media. I love them. I love summer.
Stunning. It's stunning. Yes, it's stunning. Her photos were stunning. The very documentary style and whatnot. What I didn't, and what's been a large topic of conversation since, has been her ceremony dress. So she wore three different dresses. She wore her ceremony dress, her dinner reception dress, and then her party reception dress. And I have to say, I only really cared for her party reception dress. However, it also did seem kind of impractical. It was like a wire skirt. Didn't really like, left a lot of room for Jesus, which is a big topic of conversation online. But like, it just doesn't like lean to like the bumping and grinding that I would like to do at my wedding. But again, it's not my fucking wedding. So who am I to judge? And I will continue to judge. I did not love the ceremony
dress.
You
and the rest of TikTok, apparently.
I didn't love the ceremony dress. It is a really pretty dress. The more I look at it, the more I'm like, okay, I like the back. It's a long train. The veil was really pretty. And it was very simple. And simple's fine, but it just didn't hit for a summer wedding in Rhode Island. It gave winter wedding. It gave plain. And I think there was just something about it that I didn't personally love. Her Vogue article, in her Vogue exclusive, she said that she didn't want to exude sex in any way, shape, or form, and that Christian loves her most when she's covered up. And like, that is fine. If that's how you and your husband rock and work things, that's fine. I don't think, and again, it's all everything's people's perspectives and whatnot, but like, having a dress that maybe shows your shoulders or little cleavage does not necessarily exude sex. It's all perception. It's all how you perceive things. And like, I didn't love, I mean, she's free to express whatever sentiment she wants, but I just didn't love the rationale behind it and the saying, you know, and if that's how Christian loves her best, and if that, then she's okay with it, then good for her and good on her. But like, also you've built a career off of being like a sexy bombshell. So to like kind of frame it in that way is strange to me. And yeah. And so basically it all went down when this girl, Gown-Eyed Girl, posted her opinion on her dress. And there's some aspects of it to her review that I thought was a little harsh, and maybe like uncalled for. But Olivia and Christian both went out of their way to go and comment on this girl's account. And Gown-Eyed Girl is a wedding content creator. She, I think, is in the process of getting married and planning her own wedding. So, and she's worked in the wedding industry. So she is very much in tone and in line in this world. But Olivia comments on this girl's post, "Wow, what an absolutely evil person you are. I hope no one ever tears you apart in this way, because it is extremely hurtful. I love this dress and it was everything I wanted and more." And then her husband, Christian, commented, "What an evil thing to post online. I hope you can find joy and peace in the world the way my beautiful wife does." And to that, I say, bothered much. Like, this girl did not tag you in her post. She, like, many of people had something to say. And so to go out of your way and comment that only brought more attention to your dress in a negative way than it would have either otherwise. This girl's TikTok wouldn't have even come across my feed had you not commented on it, and people wouldn't have been talking about it. And I also just thought it was hilarious. Like, Gown Eye Girl was talking about how problematic it was for Olivia to be working with Dolce & Gabbana, who is, like, famously known for being homophobic, racist, all the ists. And for her only, like, takeaway to be, "You're evil, I love my dress," and not to address the big elephant of the room of working with such problematic designers is a little strange. That's the overarching theme of the story. And people are, you know, angry, calling out this girl for being a hater. And I've been hearing a lot of stuff like that. But I'm like, if you're a public figure and you put your wedding in Vogue, you are opening yourself up to criticism. I don't care if it's your wedding or if it's, you know, something else that's personal to you. Like, you are a public figure that's putting your stuff out there. Fashion is to be interpreted differently. And if someone's giving you their opinion on something, you kind of just have to take it and shut the fuck up. Like, so I didn't really love her jumping in on this. I wish she would have stayed quiet and just been happy with her hydrangeas and her big fluffy dress.
Well, I feel like I've been hearing and seeing a lot more people hating on Olivia Culpo and her husband for their response rather than hating on this, like, bridal content creator, but that could be my feed. But yeah, I got a couple of things to say. Well, the first is that when you first told me about this, tuned me in to the fact that Olivia Culpo was getting married at all, I realized that I have thought that Olivia Culpo is Olivia Palermo for, like, probably 5 years. Like, I don't know, as long as Olivia Culpo has been a thing, I've just literally thought she was Olivia Palermo. Like, I've merged any news that's happened about either Olivia into one thing. They don't not look alike.
Yeah, like, they're very extremely similar beautiful looking human beings.
And I just, Olivia Palermo to me is like the bitchy but capable coworker of Whitney Port on iconic MTV series, The City. And so I haven't exactly, like, kept good track of her, but apparently I've been kind of keeping track of Olivia Culpo and thinking it was Olivia Palermo. And what's crazy is that Olivia Palermo, who is a fashion icon, like, she's
a
New York
maker.
Fashion. She's like Tinsley Mortimer era fashionista and New York socialite. Like, she's just kind of like one of our last, like, bastions to New York City socialite. And she got married in a pretty iconic dress 10 years ago in 2014. That's, like, kind of similar to what I feel like Olivia Culpo was trying to accomplish. And, like, now this would be sort of out of fashion. But at the time of 2014, like, Jenna Lyons, J. Crew, she wore Carolina Herrera, like, cashmere thin, long sleeve, crew neck, cream sweater with a tulle skirt over, like, silk shorts and the Sex and the City blue Manolo Blahnik shoes. Like, it was of a moment in 2014, which is to say that, like, I do feel for Olivia Culpo, who did the Vogue spread and who thought she was going to have the Sofia Richie moment or the Olivia Palermo moment from 2014 and just super didn't. Like, there was a lot of criticism online. And I guess this, you know, gown-eyed girl content creator kind of said it, like, the most succinctly. But what she says in the video is, like, yeah, fashion is subjective. She was like, when I look at these photos, I see a beautiful woman in a beautiful dress. But what she seemed to be kind of taken with is, like, all of the things that she felt like Olivia Culpo was kind of making objective about her dress, like that sexuality is objective, when it is, like, as she says in her video, well noted that women have no control over the way that their clothing is perceived. And if someone wants to perceive you as sexualized, they will do that. And I think there was this feeling around, like you said, like she is a fashion person. She is, you know, she goes on stage in bikinis, or she has historically, she's not always covered up. And I'm curious how any fiance expresses that they like you best covered up. Is it like when you're in bed at night and you got the blanket up to your chin and they're like, baby, you're looking good.
I will say, and I feel like maybe you, I don't know if we've talked about this, but like Dustin has said he's liked me in a turtleneck before. And like, and it's not like,
yeah, turtlenecks are sexy as shit. But okay, like, did you interpret that as like, my husband likes me
covered up? You are technically covered up in a turtleneck. You're like covered up to the neck.
But I think there's something about that language that like the way that it's being pushed out in this Vogue article. And she also says that she wanted her dress to be as serious as she takes the commitment of marriage. And it's hard to say that kind of stuff and not have other brides interpret it in a way that's like, okay, well, I had my titties out at my wedding and I still take my, you know,
yeah,
I still
my, take marriage my marriage seriously
or whatever.
Yeah.
So I think that like that content creator was just commenting on that. And the fact of the matter is, if you spread your wedding all over Vogue, which is a fashion magazine that asks people to interpret fashion, then like that's what you're doing. You are opening the fashion and the iconography and the aesthetics of your wedding up to criticism. And like this woman did not say anything evil.
No, not at all.
They both used the word evil.
Oh, they were sitting next to each other and like, okay, you comment first. This is what I'm going to say. And then I'll sit and you say this. Like, that's exactly how it went
down.
And
they're like, you know what's going to make this seem a lot less Handmaid's Tale than it, than it's kind of seeming right now? If we call this woman evil. Like, she is a pillar of sin.
I just like, yeah, it was, I just don't get it. Like, you are fair game at this point. This is fair game. And if anyone said anything about my wedding, I'm not a public figure, but if anyone like commented on my wedding and said, oh, I hate your dress, you're such a whore, like, I'd be like, okay, block.
Please don't read my Instagram comments live on air, Chelsea. I said that privately on a public platform.
But like, yeah, I just think like have thicker skin. Like, I know it's the wedding. I know it's your wedding. It's a big moment. But lastly, that I want to touch on another thing that she said in her interview that was also like somewhat infuriating was her talking about her makeup look for the wedding, which she said was like very plain and simple. She didn't do a lip liner. She didn't have lash extensions or no lashes. And she did nothing to her brows, which like, if you follow along with Olivia Culpo, you know, she's gotten a lash lift at a very like prominent place here in Los Angeles and got a touch up right before her wedding. And probably had some like lashes like tucked in there to extenuate it. And then someone pointed out online that Dolce & Gabbana don't have lip liner or brow tint makeup. And her makeup, her wedding was solely Dolce & Gabbana. So to say stuff like that and to make it seem like you're just this like clean girl makeup when in actuality, it just didn't fit with your brand deal. Like, it just is, it's annoying. And just like, be honest, like you did have something going on with your lips. Like maybe it was a different, I don't know, but it's just phony and it's fake. And I wish people would be a little bit more transparent and real, especially when it comes to wedding culture, because it's already a little bit confusing and foggy and like stressful as is. So when we have such beautiful people acting as if they didn't do anything to their face to get ready for their wedding.
And did you
it's
see
really
that like someone did like a video about that being like,
yeah,
okay, well, you said you didn't use mask. And then she commented on it and was like, I was just talking about what I did and the magazine wrote the article. And I do
understand
like the inclination to want to be defensive. But when you get paid to do these kind, like to make these kinds of statements, and like I say stupid shit on podcasts all the time, I have to allow that when I say stupid shit, if people quote it back to me, I can't be like, You can't hold me accountable for saying that. I said it.
She's bothered by it. And what's crazy to me is like, she's not being tagged in these things. She's like, she is seeking out this content, which I'm just like, girl, you just got married to a really wealthy and good looking NFL player. Like, go on your honeymoon before he goes to training camp and like get off the internet, please.
Well, one thing is that I now know who Olivia Culpo is. Okay, this is what I was starting to say earlier, though. The other crazy thing is that Olivia Palermo renewed her vows at the exact same time. It was her 10-year anniversary, and her dress was stunning. Amazing.
Stunning.
Like, all of her outfits, like, she wore this green dress like to her wedding luncheon. And she talked about that when they got married originally 10 years ago, they wanted it to be like a private thing. You know, they wanted it to be small. It was a busy time in their lives. Maybe they knew that they were not, you know, emotionally up for handling critical feedback. And so that's not what they did. And then now, 10 years later, they did it up. And her husband is so hot. And just turns out, I'm really happy for Olivia Palermo.
I'm happy for that dress. Was at her ceremony, vow renewal dress, stunning. The black trim, the over, like, that was something that was what I expected Olivia Culpo to be in. Something along those lines.
Her dresses were all Giambattista Valli, who is not, as far as we know, known for doing racist and homophobic things that they absolutely refuse to take back, like Dolce & Gabbana. And it is wild that like celebrities still just go this hard for Dolce & Gabbana.
Them and all of that Balenciaga stuff is out there. It's like crazy. Like, it's crazy to me. But that's why I'm not rich.
Well, Chelsea, you were on the
famous
forefront of this one, because like the internet was, I mean, this was all over my For You page. And I was glad that by the time it got to my For You page, I did know who Olivia Culpo was. And also, I didn't know who Christian was. I definitely did not know that she was marrying the best running back, was it?
Running back. He's also a quiet guy. He's not like a big in your face type of NFL player. He's no Travis Kelce. He's not doing all the commercials.
Could have fooled me in dim Instagram comments. Didn't seem so quiet there, but he was coming to his wife's defense. And speaking of romance, I would love to tell you what I'm watching right now.
Please, because literally I'm in Love Island whole, so nothing else has come to me. So please tell me.
Okay. So the other thing that is, and this has been all over my pages, and you know, you get your own algorithm. I consume a lot of Bridgerton content. I like to check in on what the kids are up to, what the teens are watching, what the new words are. And so like as far as I can tell, this show has gotten really popular, and I'm going to really tell you about it in a second. But first I have to tell you how I first perceived it, which is I saw a trailer for My Lady Jane, and it seemed very like the show Rain on CW. Did you ever see that?
No.
It was about Mary, Queen of Scots. And so like another, this era royalty kind of story. And it is very notorious for like the girlies were just wearing prom dresses. Like Mary, Queen of Scots was wearing like modern day prom dresses.
Like
they were
Windsor style prom dresses.
Yeah. I mean, it was just like rhinestones and rhinestone, satin, ribbons in their hair, like not time period accurate, but it also wasn't really ironic. Like it wasn't, you know, like a fun kind of stab at like a more modernized telling of the story, really like a show like Dickinson or something like that is. That's what I thought. I thought this was going to be kind of like a CW style, you know, kind of low budget show. Then I see people start talking about it. And it's a clip of a man and a young man and a young woman in a barn. And things are kind of like tense, like they're romantic and tense. It's like an enemies to lovers type moment. And then this man, spoilers for My Lady Jane, just straight up turns into a horse, and not like anamorphs into a horse, like sort of explodes into confetti and is immediately a giant horse. And
did she kiss him?
Talk.
Like, what prompted?
She doesn't kiss him. Things do not get romantic. And in fact, that's where the quick clip that I saw ended. And so for about 3 days, I could not stop asking people, are you watching the show where the guy turns into the horse? And then finally, I had to watch the show where the guy turns into the horse myself. And can I tell you that this show is delightful? I mean, it's absolutely batshit insane. Like, but so it's basically The Tudors meets Animorphs. It is, you know, about, there's been a lot of Tudor television about this era of, you know, Henry VIII and his many wives and his many waves. There's been a lot of Broadway about like this era of royalty. I thought I watched The Tudors on Showtime as like a child, because I remembered in my head being like, oh, this is so scandalous. Like, yeah. I watched it like under a sheet with a flashlight. In fact, I was like fully an adolescent when that was airing, and it was pretty much fine for me to be watching, but I think I still thought that it was really scandalous. And the main thing I remember about it is like, that's the first place I ever saw Henry Cavill, who I thought was wildly hot. And the other thing I remember about the show, The Tudors, is that it sort of implied that Anne Boleyn invented the blowjob. And like, that's what these shows should be doing. It was another like wild tale. So what My Lady Jane does is take a much less known Tudor, a cousin of Edward VI, who is the like sickly son of Henry VIII. And she, kind of the only thing we know about her in history, and you learn this in like the first 30 seconds of My Lady Jane, is that like she was given the crown by her cousin. She held it for 9 days and then was like immediately labeled like a treacherous traitor, put in jail, and then beheaded. So she's known as like the 9 day queen and kind of like a historical damsel in distress. Mm-hmm. And then what the cheeky little British narrator of My Lady Jane says is what he tells the story, and then he says, fuck that. What if history was different? And you're at the time that he says it, you're staring at this painting. It's like it's a famous painting of Lady Jane where she's blindfolded and about to be beheaded. And he says, fuck that. And her blindfold falls off. And then you just find out that like this show is not going to be historically accurate at all. It is just a complete reimagining where like she doesn't die. Nothing is real. It's very vaguely aligned with history. And then most importantly, you have to take all of those exceptions into account. And then most importantly, it is also about shapeshifters. So then it just goes like full fan fiction. It's like, and also this guy's going to turn into a horse. And so I did go in thinking that it was only about the sort of romantic male lead turning into a horse. But in fact, there's this whole shape-shifting narrative. People are turning into bears. People are turning into hawks. Anytime you see a dog, you're like, that's probably a person. And it is. And they use real animals, so it's not like CGI-y. But it's just like, it's like a wild show. But it's actually kind of good. I'm only 2 episodes in. I want you to watch it.
I think I will this weekend. How, like, is it a bit like, are all the episodes out or is it only a few out?
All 8 episodes are out.
Oh,
and yeah, they all dropped at once on Amazon Prime or on Prime Video. It's a completely bizarre show. I mean, I just respect it for being like, we're going to make the weirdest decisions possible.
Okay. I'll watch. I'm not a big Regency era person, which is why it's weird. Like, I do like Bridgerton. But this sounds fascinating. I will watch on Saturday night because there's no Love Island on Saturdays.
And well, I'll let you know. I'm so glad that we got you back to the regular world because there's no Love Island on Saturday.
I'll come up for air.
I think everyone can get excited about watching a guy turn into a bear. And then there's just a bear on screen. And the romantic chemistry is good. I think that the romantic chemistry between these two is good. And they're getting like all the tropes in. But it's particularly enemies to lovers-esque, you know is a good one. So I'm only a few episodes in. But I'm having a great time. And I'm going to keep it up. Please, you and everyone listening, let me know if you're tuning in and if I'm just being insane, because like it is so funny to watch him turn into a horse that's honestly enough for me. But before we log off, Chelsea, I would love to know what you're obsessed with this week.
I'm obsessed.
Okay, so it took everything in me not to have my obsession be our wedding video. We got our full length wedding video back and I've watched it 100 times already. So I'm not going to say that as my obsession, even though I just said it, but what I have been really loving and who I've been loving is this couple named Matt and Omar. They have been served up on my TikTok feed a few times and I just went through a deep dive with them, last night. And I think a couple weeks ago, I mentioned how I like watching Europeans talk about like American snacks and their thoughts on them. So Omar, think Tan France from Queer Eye, and Matt, think Bobby from Queer Eye, are married. And Omar is British, and I think they live up north in the Bay. And so Matt takes his British husband to try American chain restaurants for the first time. And when I tell you, Omar's commentary about our food is quite hilarious and just makes me realize how preposterous we are. I put in the outline his critique on Wendy's. And like he read our girl Wendy to filth, saying what a creepy little child she looks like. And I was like, ah. Wendy does look a little bit creepy.
Okay, well, I deeply associate with Wendy as another redhead, so I'm offended, but I'll get over it.
And they took him to Texas Roadhouse, and like it was just, it's like his commentary. What did he say about Texas Roadhouse? He was like, "I love it here so much, even though it could, I feel like we're on the verge of a potential hate crime. I love it here." It was just so funny.
I love it there too.
Yeah. And so majority of his reviews on our food is good, but it's just Red Robin. They've been to an Applebee's, a Chili's, a Outback. And he doesn't have necessarily horrible things to say about our food, which I think they are pretty bad, but it is funny just hearing his commentary on just American culture, our portion sizes, our decor for restaurants. I love when like Europeans are like, oh, a typical American diner. Like, I was just like, oh, like it's like the movies. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, it's an Applebee's.
Yeah. So I have really been enjoying Matt and Omar.
Well, topically, Chelsea, I saw a viral video of a bunch of girls watching Love Island USA at a Chili's. So maybe that's something that you and Callie and Juliet could try out this weekend.
I know.
Not on Saturday when you'll be watching My Lady Jane.
Yes.
Make it happen. Okay. Well, in a deep, deep pivot, I'm just going to quick, you know, the people have given me excellent tips about how to quick chill my Coke Zero. And I have to tell you as a quick Coke Zero update that my lips are like shriveled like raisins from drinking this salty Coke Zero, but it's kind of good salty. I'm discovering so much. And another thing that I discovered this week is that I've already talked a lot about how like I'm not, you know, that gifted domestically. Like I'm not good in the kitchen. I don't want a pantry with corridors. I've never been good at laundry. And I've always felt kind of shameful about it because it feels like deeply adult to be good at laundry. And I mean, I do my laundry. I've just always felt like I'm not that good at it.
What?
But
like,
don't
you do good with your laundry?
Pretty much like tip to tail, like beginning to end, I'm just not very good at it. I'm not good at doing it in a timely manner. I've always felt like I'm not good at like getting stains out. Like if I get a stain on something, it's over. I can't get it out. Until I discovered what I now feel is my perfect secret recipe for stain remover that my mom told me about, who's great at laundry. So like, it didn't get passed down the line. I mean, I literally like will still bring things to, and I, like, I don't live super close to my parents, but I will bring things to my parents' house and be like, Mom, can you help me get the stain out of this? Like, I'm just not going to be able to do it myself. And then she finally told me the little concoction she was using, and it's half hydrogen peroxide, half Dawn dish soap. And then I feel, and I started using it, like, you just mix it in whichever container, half and half, squirt it on the stain. It works great. But I feel like I've cracked the code even further than my mom. Take that, Mom. And I'm also sharing this with you guys before I'm even sharing it with my sweet, sweet mother, which is that the Dawn dish soap, that's like the power spray one, it is liquid as opposed to regular Dawn dish soap, which is kind of gooey. And that was always like a bit of a mess to combine with the hydrogen peroxide. So now I combine that in the Power Soaker dish soap bottle. So it also has that like extreme power spray to it when I spray it on the stain. And I honestly feel like I've discovered liquid gold. Like, I have not met a stain that it will not get out. And I ran out of it, and I ran completely out of the ingredients for it this week. And I like, and I was just like, maybe I can just wash this towel. And oh, and do you know what the towel was from? It was from when I spilled Coke Zero all over my desk.
So wait,
and I was frantic to get, what's up?
Are you just like really stain ridden? Like, what is going on over there?
Chelsea, I am spilling a Coke Zero a day. And normally I mostly go through paper towels, you know, like I use a lot of paper towels, but I was in such a hurry last week to clean up, and I had spilled so much Coke Zero to need to get on the, and I needed to get on the call with you, that I cleaned it up with a beach towel. And I was like, I'll just throw this in. I'm sure it'll be fine. It's just Coke Zero, which is made, I think, 100% from chemicals. And that shit didn't come out at all. Then I made my concoction again. I sprayed down the towel I had already washed. Zippity split, came right out. And I just want to share this with the people because they have shared their hot tips with me. I do also want to say that if this ruins your clothing or your beach towels, it's not my fault and I'm sorry. But so far, it's been, I'm obsessed with it. Like, it's been a real, I was going to say godsend, but actually mom send, which is better than a godsend to me. So thank you to my mom. And I just, it's, I feel like a whole human now that I have it back in my life.
Move over, Martha Stewart. Jody Walker is coming for you.
And she's got a super soaker full of Dawn dish soap and hydrogen peroxide. And she is ready to spill literally everything in your giant pantry. Well, guys, it's been a real weird bag. We've talked domestic things. It was a pretty hater-filled episode. It was a weird week of culture, but we're so happy to have you here with us. And thank you so much for listening. Thank you to our producer, Sasha. Thank you, Chelsea. We will see you back here next week on We're Obsessed. Bye.
Bye-bye.